This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're going to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, Bills fans. Continuing to revel in what happened on Sunday and the Bills' outlook for the remainder of this season. If you didn't, I mean, there were lots of ways of looking at last Sunday's game. We talked about it all of last week, really, what to do with it, with the realization that this whole thing will come down to what happens in January, and it still will. Like, that didn't change at all on Sunday. You might have already, I would have been, you would have been, somebody who thought the Bills were good enough to beat Kansas City. They've done it enough times, and they showed Sunday that they still are, so that's good. What does it all add up to for as we look ahead from this point? I mean, the Chiefs just do not have it, at least yet. You know, Sam Monson today, for as much as we've talked about this, he said, and this is fair, you've got to respect their ability to turn it up in the postseason. I mean, I guess they did that last year. I mean, to some extent. So that's still out there. The Bills haven't won that game yet.
Right.
But, man, they look about as good. Their chances, I think, look about as good as they ever have. And that's the big headline, I think, for this team going into Week 12, is not only are they, you know, going to win the division, or, I mean, they were the favorite, the division has fallen apart, but you've got really a great look at the conference championship, and I mean, obviously that's a big advantage, as we all know. So that's the headline, I think, for this season so far, is through, it'll be 12 weeks, they are right there with at the top of the list.
Very early in the season, 3-0, right, after they beat Jacksonville, just destroyed Jacksonville. I remember sitting in here with you and saying, like, they look like the best team in the league, and this certainly doesn't look like this, you know, saying the same thing with some different words. There's not anybody, at least in the conference, that looks better than them. Now, they hadn't seen Baltimore yet by then, and they have since seen Baltimore, and we know how that went. I still think that's, you know, much like if the Bills had lost to the Chiefs, I wouldn't assume they can't beat them in January, and I would say the same thing about Baltimore. They're a different challenge than the Chiefs right now. I mean, both from a schematic standpoint and like the skill sets of the players. I mean, they've got the big beefy running back, the great running quarterback, a prolific passing game, but their defense is pretty wonky, whereas the Chiefs don't really have the offense anymore. I mean, they have enough, they still have the great quarterback, but it's not they're not firing on all cylinders, but the defense has been really good. So, you know, there's nobody out there that looks to me like I can't climb that mountain type of thing. You know, in fact, I mean, the Bills are close to being the top of the mountain themselves. I mean, they're a half game back for the best record in the conference here, cruising into their bye week. And so, you know, we'll see about Pittsburgh and their defense should we need to worry about it, or the Chargers, who might be, you know, relatively unknown. Like, I don't know. For me, I just watched them on Sunday night for the first time in any kind of long form and came away pretty impressed. We'll see if they can, like, be that team for another month and a half and then into the playoffs, should they make it. They're in great shape to make it at 7-3.
They are.
But there's nobody, you know, it's just not a year that there's somebody that you're obviously like, oh, boy, I don't know how I'm going to get by them. I don't feel that way. You could feel that way about Baltimore, again, because of the way the head-to-head did look on that night in you know, back early in the season.
You're pretty close, though, now to guaranteeing that that's going to be a home game.
Yeah.
If there is a rematch.
Right.
Feels
so
big.
Yeah. So I'm not, you know, I'm kind of where I was before they lost a couple in a row, which is they look as good as anybody, or if not, you know, better than everyone else. And so that in and of itself should have you feeling like, okay, they'll have a really good look at it. If they can somehow, some way, between now and the time they get on the field against the 49ers, doesn't have to come within that window. But boy, if the Chiefs find their way, I mean, it doesn't seem likely that they would lose to Carolina this week, but they do have the Raiders on Black Friday, and the Raiders beat them on Christmas last year. And so, you know, I don't know, like maybe, man, if you can get that by the time you get on the field against San Francisco, it'll feel really, really live. Obviously, for the one seed. I mean, the Bills will still have to take care of their end of this, and there's going to be some tough games there, including that San Francisco game. The Lions obviously really stand out in that regard.
That's right. The Chiefs play twice before the Bills play again.
But it's really on here in a different way. Like, we've been really dialed in on these, like, late November into December games plenty of these years, because the Bills have been kind of on the ropes in 21, and last year they were 500 around this time of the season and just, you know, leaned into it and won going to the wire and got real hot by the time the playoffs got here. At least in 21 they did. I don't know that they were exactly hot last year going into the playoffs. They were really injured, certainly, by the time they came out of that wild card game against Pittsburgh. But anyway, I'm just going, I'm saying a lot of words here to say it does feel like they've got as good a look at it as you could have possibly hoped for. I would not have dreamt of 9-2 with this team. I still might have dreamt about 12 wins. I don't know about 13, because I would have thought like they'd be taking their lumps early and sort of find their groove as the year goes on. We sure hope that doesn't come out to be the opposite is happening, where they, you know, don't really take many lumps early, and then maybe the end of the season is rocky. Hopefully we avoid that here, or they avoid that for us.
Remember the stat after they had lost to Houston about how, like, they almost, is it that they almost didn't lose another game each one of these seasons where they had back-to-back losses from those losses? I'll look that up, because it just occurred to me that has still happened this year. They're 6-0.
Right.
And some of those, like last year, it was Cincinnati and Denver. All right, well, they went 6-1 after they lost to Denver.
They still lost that Philly game, yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is.
You know, they have had two losses in a row each one of these seasons, and their record post those losses is kind of insane. I'll get it. I've got this notebook. Colin is with us. Hi, Colin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Love the show. You know, my brother and I have been kind of debating about what to think about ahead of hopefully, you know, another playoff appearance. And he is really kind of prioritizing health. I mean, my brother's idea is, you know, we're probably going to clinch the division within the next week or two. And he's thinking, like, as soon as we do, we should just rest our starters and try to go into the playoffs as healthy as possible, because that's something that we didn't have last year. And I think he's thinking that that was the detriment last year. Whereas with this Chiefs, with this win over the Chiefs, I'm still thinking about the one seed. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking go all in, you know, hope the Chiefs slip up. There are the rest of our schedule isn't looking quite as tough as it once was. The 49ers look more beatable than they did before. I think the Rams are, obviously that Lions game is going to be the toughest one, but I don't know. I mean, I kind of see his point if the one seed was out of reach, you know, if it's the difference between the four, the three, or the two, I think you could maybe make an argument, you know, just go for resting your players and be as healthy as possible. But as long as the one seed is out there and there's a credible chance at it, I say go for it. He is kind of implying that it's fool's gold. What do you guys think?
I think the week off is incredibly valuable. I'm not as where I think home field, I'd rather be at home than on the road, but the reward of the one far and away is the week off. I think there's a world here, Colin. I mean, I mentioned this a few times last week. I hate it every time it came out of my mouth because I know how it sounded, where for your brother's viewpoint, the Bills losing to the Chiefs would have leaned a lot of people in the direction of your brother, I think, because I was even thinking that, like, they might kind of do you a favor here. You can still sew up the division. If you're not that worried about two or three, you can maybe do that. Like, do some load management with all your key people down the stretch here and try to get that, you know, not actually have everybody have a week off, but sort of take turns like basketball teams do during a long season.
That'll never happen.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I would have liked to find out this year if it would have. You need a very perfect scenario there where you don't care about the seeding that much or at all to run the risk of falling from 2-4, say, which is what the Bills would have been looking at with a loss maybe in this game. So, yeah, we're probably a long ways from that. I wouldn't say it'll never happen, though. I think with the way things have evolved here, teams taking the preseason off, We could get to a point where a team would, but again, you need a very specific set of circumstances where there's just nothing to be gained by continuing to go for it. But because they won,
well,
and because it's the NFL, I definitely am with you, Colin. I want to keep going.
I mean, that of course happens if you've clinched and there's nothing on the line. Lots of guys will sit. Not every team, you know all this, not every team does that, but plenty of teams do. The idea that, like, openly, Sean McDermott would sit two or three of his most important starters for, like, the Patriots games at the end of the season, that would be scandalous. If they mattered. I mean, if they didn't matter, then you have sort of a typical scenario. But I'm not saying I would hate it. But imagine, like, openly.
Right.
Not making up an injury. Mm-hmm. Not just playing it safe because the guy has a sprained toe or what have you. But just, like, you know, we're giving them the week off.
We're not that worried about having the two versus the three, say. And so even though we don't have that clinched, we're home free. We know we're going to be at home at least. At worst, we're at home for that first round. And maybe that's all you care about. Like, I don't know. The more I speak it, the more I hear myself saying it, the more I think it is. It's probably far off.
Well, it is. And as it gets closer, we'll all be talking about it.
Yep.
It does seem early, but I think eventually, if it stays this way, we'll all be talking about
it. Right. I had the thing the other day that there's a scenario where before they take the field against San Francisco, they could have the division clinched.
Yeah.
That's out there. They need Miami to lose and the Jets to lose. And so, you know, and Miami, I think, plays twice between now and then, so they need to lose twice. The Jets only play once because they're on bye with the Bills here this week, I believe. So that could happen, but with the fact that they got Kansas City the way they did, I wouldn't predict any sort of early shoot pulling here because the one is very valuable. I think getting that week off would be so big. Obviously, if you got to go to the wire to try to get it, you don't want to, you know, get hurt doing it because that, you know, go, oh, great, we got a week off, but, you know, three guys got hurt and they're not going to be available when we get off our bye. Like, you know, you can tangle yourself up in knots with stuff like that. And, you know, a way to guard against that is do what Colin's brother is talking about doing. They just sit down and prioritize that. But I would want to lean into the one. It's the one thing they've not had during this four, now 5 year run of excellence, is they've never had that. And this late in the year, I mean, I don't remember other years how good of a look they had at it. There was a year you and I were together, 21. We were out watching them, the Chiefs play Denver, and they were on the ropes. And that would have really mattered for the Bills and the one, but the Chiefs ended up, the Broncos couldn't finish that game off. And like there was a late turnover or something, and the Chiefs got out of there with a win. And that might have put the Bills in the driver's seat for the one, if I remember right.
Maybe, but they've never been in it, which is what you're saying.
Right.
They've always, at best, needed someone else to lose.
Right.
Because, and I know that because these seasons, they've all been seasons where the Bills ran hot at the end. You know, that's four wins in a row. Last year was five wins in a row. And they've been really good like that. So in each case, they would not have been in the lead, or else they would have
it.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward for me. The division is over. I think, you know, if that scenario happens by the San Francisco game, the game is the same. You're still playing.
Right.
You know, that's your stake is first place in the conference.
You're playing the Chiefs, right, yeah.
I think that means a lot to teams. It would be really surprising if a team had a shot at the bye and didn't really go for it. I mean, I think you're sort of priced in if you get to week 18 – win and imagine, right? Like win week 18 in New England and get the one seed. I mean, they're playing their guys. There's just no way they wouldn't play their guys.
Absolutely.
And play for the bye. So that's pretty straightforward too. And really the one scenario you mentioned, two versus three, that kind of thing, is the one where it would be kind of a split, you know. People would have different opinions about what to do.
I'm not even sure how I'll feel about it. We've only, you know, briefly talked about it, even a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how much it's come up recently, but I know how I have felt other years has always been get the highest seed you can get. Just keep going, go hard to the wire. It means you get the two that will help. You never know what's going to happen in the divisional round. The one loses, you're home. You know, sure, you don't get the week off, but give me the highest seed I can get. You know, now, you know, having watched more of these years go by, seeing all the injuries last year, like I'm not so sure. I might still end up at push, go for it, just go. The Chiefs look vulnerable. They could lose a divisional round game to, you know, whoever they play in that first round. And I'll probably still end up there, but it's more of a question for me than it's ever been because I recognize the toll it has taken on them to have to go hard through week 18.
Yeah, I think two is pretty important. We'll see. Allen will definitely play all these games because he's got the streak. He's the longest continuous starting quarterback here in the league. You know, the old Brett Favre record. He's a long way from that, but among you know current guys, he's in front most consecutive starts. So that's something we might end up talking about too, because there are times in these situations where I'd rather him not play, but he does. So at least has in the past. You know, if the Bills get the one, what are you looking at? I'm excited for these conversations. It's fine to start them, and that includes opponents, possible opponents. If you're the one seed, the Ravens enjoyed this last year by being the one. They didn't play the first week. Buffalo had a, you know, fairly easy game. Kansas City had a fairly easy game. Houston blew out Cleveland. So the three home teams all won double digits in the first round. And so the Ravens got a Texans team that was like everybody's idea of the weakest. You know, that's not always going to be that clear, but last year, of course, they should be able to pick their opponents. We still don't have that in this society. And then you had Chiefs-Bills on the other side. That could be very similar this year. It's not going to be Baltimore, but the team, Houston is probably the four, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weakest division. They're two games up plus tiebreaker. Like they're kind of in a groove to win that division. And I don't know, like they would be my pick to have the fourth best record of the division winners.
Yep, I agree with that.
If no upsets, which is not a given, but if no upsets, you would have the Texans, I think, my guess would be, at the one in the second week. And then these other two teams, like last year, fight it out. And that's a titanic matchup, whether that's Baltimore, even if it's Pittsburgh, Bills, Chiefs, you know, that some combination of those teams. What about, though, and I don't want to avoid this, only a part of me does because the one is still very much in play. If it's the two, who do you want? Or who do you not want? That's a good one right now. We talked to Sam Monson. He likes Denver as a possible, you know, dangerous team in the playoffs. I really don't. Maybe I should. The Bengals are kind of obvious for this. If they can get there, they're behind.
Right.
You said yesterday you think Miami is still a little scary.
I mean, they have one fewer loss than the Bengals at this point. You know, they've already had their bye.
They could make it.
So they could make it.
And then there's Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And the Chargers. But
I mean, all of those to me are preferable to Baltimore. Them looming down there. I wanted them to win in Pittsburgh on Sunday. I didn't pick them. I mean, I want to pick. I wanted them to win as I want them to be the battling with the Bills for the two or the three or the whatever, right? And just that way I'm not – somebody else can maybe trip them up in the first round, and I don't got to deal with you.
That's your point. You don't want to play them the first
– This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
First week.
Right.
Nobody will want to play them the first week.
And that right now, it's not that far off. Right? I mean, the Steelers are only a half game behind the Bills for the two. And the Ravens are sitting there at 7-4, a game ahead of the Broncos. A game, you know, half game behind the Chargers for the five. So, I mean, it's still a long way to go. But the Ravens being there is as bad to me as if the Bengals were there. And the Ravens were where the Steelers are. And the Steelers were just, you know, under 500, like a lot of us thought they would be this year. It's not happening that way. I don't need the Ravens in the wild card mix at all. But it looks like, I mean, certainly at this point, I mean, they could still catch Pittsburgh. There's a lot of football left. But
yep. They play again.
Yep. I guess I would tell you I'm still rooting for that. I'm rooting for them to just at least for a week get out of my hair. In the playoffs, I mean. Potentially. I mean, if I'm the one, then I'm really not going to worry that much about it.
And you do have a lot of hair.
Yes, I do.
There's room for a team in there. So look out. You know, it's like, who do you not want to play? But the kind of the point of the show today, the discussion is there might not be such a team. I'm not going to worry about teams like the Colts.
Yeah, any of the other teams you mentioned, I mean, I have to varying degrees. There's teams I would rather play than not. Baltimore's the only team in that group that I'm a little scared of. You know, any of these teams could beat the Bills on a given day. But the Ravens are the one to me that really stand out. Because I'm thinking the Bengals, I just don't know that they're going to get there. It's been too tough for them. I would say after the Ravens, the next team that I'm thinking that way about is the Chargers.
803-0550. We're looking ahead to the playoffs, as you can tell. Join us if you would. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see Goo Goo Dolls at KeyBank Center Saturday, August 9th of next year, courtesy of New Day Live. Tickets go on sale this Friday, November 22nd at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Ooh, it's coming up on November 22nd. JFK. It's a Friday this year.
Yep.
That was on a Friday. 61 years it'll be. Everybody, it said, remembers where they were when they heard that news.
Sure. I believe that.
You don't, though.
Well, I was... what year did
your story is you were not born yet? Is
yeah,
that
that's what I'm going to go with. I wasn't alive.
1963?
Yeah, no, I was...
You're not 61?
No, not yet. No, got a little ways to go.
Okay. Anyway, Dave is with us next. Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. Enjoy the show as usual.
Thank you.
And, good. I called last week, and remember I told you, if the Bills knock the Chiefs out of the unbeaten ranks, unless they go to the Super Bowl, that's going to be the highlight of their season. But I still think they're going to the game. But as far as being healthy goes, yes, you want them to go into that game healthy, not having guys hurt here and there. So if they're going to kill themselves getting the number one seed and try to win out, but not going into the game healthy, then they could get knocked off. Even though they got the one seed, the first playoff game they get would be home, yes. But who knows, and a team can come in there and knock them off. Then you're going to say to yourself, what good was killing ourselves getting the first seed if we're going to get knocked off the first game because we weren't healthy? So I think if they stay healthy and if they rest some of these guys down the road and they go into the playoffs healthy, then they get to the Super Bowl healthy and you can win the game.
Well, it's just
who they're playing.
Thanks, Dave. The thing about it is there's just not enough correlation to be able to control that. You know, you could sit players and have injuries too. You can play them and not have injuries, right? There's just not enough. You're just playing the odds. And in my opinion, and yours, Bulldog, that the odds there are worth the effort. The advantage of having the week off, which you can use to get healthy, and home
right,
field.
Right.
I would say that.
Yeah. See, this is why when I referenced this, I think, within the last half hour or so, the point about, it was when Colin called and said his brother's rooting for, like, not worried about the one seed, just be healthy. And I referenced how I said a few times last week, like, if the Chiefs beat you, it could be kind of a favor to you because you can maybe let up a little bit and not worry about. And I hated how that sounded, and that's how I feel hearing Dave spit that back at me. Some different version of it, but it's the same thing, babe. And it's like, no, it's football. You have to go play. Put your helmet on. Go play. Some guys are going to get hurt. Okay, that's football. I hope nobody really important gets hurt for long term, but you're always going to be guarding against that. So I just don't think you can go too far the other way to construct a perfect scenario where you can just start giving guys weeks off, taking turns or something, the last 3 weeks of the season or something. It's just not, I don't think it's not realistic. And I don't say that because I'm worried about rust or anything. I think these guys rested would be better than, have to run the gauntlet, but still being healthy, I would say. But I think you got this game last week. And the one is there, and you just don't know what else is going to come here. The health of your opponents even, you just don't know. There's too much we don't know. So to me, you got to just keep going. And sure, I mean, it's easy to look at their season now and say, I'm getting Milano back. I'm going to get Coleman back. I just got Cooper back. Spencer Brown will be back. I'm getting healthy, and that's very different than, say, last year or really any other year. We also don't know what else is going to happen to who else here between now and the end. And I just think you can twist yourself up into knots trying to guard against that.
By the way, earlier you were trying to think back to these other years, and I said that they really have never had control of it. That's not correct. The Hamlin year, with a win in Cincinnati that night, they would have had control of the one going into the final game of the season.
They'd already beaten the Chiefs, yeah.
Because they'd beaten the Chiefs, and they ended up a half game behind. Remember, the league had to figure out what to do, compromise kind of. So the Chiefs were basically given the one that year. The Bills didn't make it that far. They lost to the Bengals in the playoffs, who then lost to the Chiefs. So they were that close 2 years ago.
Yep, that's right.
Let's go to Cliff next. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, sorry about that. I think you guys have it a little bit wrong with the playoffs. I think the AFC North, I'm scared as Baltimore too. I believe Derrick Henry is our biggest fear. But I feel like all those teams are going to beat up each other. You guys keep on talking about Cincinnati. Cincinnati plays Pittsburgh twice, and they had to play Baltimore. So I could see that actually division falling back and not getting the 3 seed, but the 4 seed, and Houston being in the South could actually back into the 3rd seed, and that could be the 2-3. And you don't play, you know, Pittsburgh in the first round, and you play, if Pittsburgh, Baltimore are the 4-5, they go against the 1 seed, and then we get to play the 3 seed as long as they don't lose to the 6 seed. So, I'm as just as scared as you guys with Baltimore, but I don't think they will have enough wins to challenge us for the 2. I think it's more likely that we go up to 1 than we fall down to 3, the way it looks right now.
I would agree with that. Thanks, Cliff. The Ravens are done with the Bengals.
Yeah, they played twice already. Right.
But the Steelers haven't played the Bengals or the Browns yet. And they have 5 division games left. And they have the Chiefs left. And one more. Somebody good.
Who are we talking about here?
Pittsburgh.
Hang on. Efforting, processing.
Philadelphia.
Okay, just as I got it. Yep, good job.
Boy, Philadelphia has Pittsburgh and Baltimore still. Okay.
I would agree that they're more likely to get the 1 than fall to the 3, but that the rest of that, I don't know. I'm about ready to give up on the Bengals. Now maybe this is where they win a game and, you know, the whole thing looks a little tighter when we reconvene on Monday after week 12 here, but if Baltimore is going to get out of my hair, I want them to catch Pittsburgh, and maybe that can still happen. I would love it if it did, because I just would much rather take my chances with anybody but Baltimore if it comes to that. But with the way their year's been, I mean, to me, they could end up being the 7. I know that sounds crazy, but it could happen. Their schedule is tough, and if they don't catch Pittsburgh, they could end up down there. And that is very worrisome to me. Like, as far as, you know, sure, that you're worried about them. They finished, you know, 10-7. Why are you so worried about them? I mean, because they're Baltimore. They've got Jackson. Henry, you can really get tangled up in. He's great. But much like the opener when they lost in Kansas City on a toenail with likely in the end zone at the end, and Derrick Henry was on the sidelines in a close game because they were throwing. That was the situation in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Henry, I think, touched the ball maybe 2 times after halftime, maybe 5 times after halftime. I got to look. I know I saw a tweet earlier in the week how he just was not a factor, because if they're in a situation where they feel like they got to throw it, they're going to have, you know, their other guys on the field, Hill or Mitchell's back there too now, right?
Mitchell is back. But he played a couple snaps.
Yeah, it's more Hill.
I think Mitchell's interesting.
But anyway, it just, you know, you're in a close game, but they feel like they got to throw it. Your Derrick Henry problem is solved to an extent. Like, they don't have him out there that much.
Here are the playoff odds real quick. These teams in the middle there, like, will they make it? Chargers at -1200. So they've been a favorite all year, and now they're a pretty big favorite, 7-3. Then you have, like, they're the 5 right now, actually. I didn't even bother with the Ravens. Denver is -105, so Denver's like a coin flip. They're the 7 right now. Indianapolis is 8, +155. It's interesting. Miami's next, actually. Miami is 9, and they're +310. I have a piece of that.
Okay.
Cincinnati at +450. If you think they need to win 6 out of 7, probably.
Yeah.
Or it's actually all 6. They've already played 11 games. So they might need to finish on a 6-game winning streak. maybe 5-1, but that's 9-8, and that's not great. Then you have the Jets, of course, at plus 3,000, which I also have a piece of.
Of course.
And I have the Browns, and I can't even look at the Browns number after last week. I'm gonna, since I brought it up, plus 15,000. The Browns, they're 2-8. They weren't supposed to lose to the Saints by a lot. That was not what I was thinking.
No, right? No, no, it was not.
They were not supposed to give up 3 rushing touchdowns and 8 receptions to Taysom Hill. They were not. They should have planned for that.
Right.
They should have tried to stop him. Taysom Hill, no game in NFL history has ever been like it. No single game performance has ever been like it. 7 for 100-some rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, 8 receptions, and he threw a pick. Nobody's ever done that combination of things in NFL history.
Right.
100 yards rushing, 3 rushing touchdowns, I think 8 catches. I think that's the number, and he threw a pick. There's only one Taysom Hill. All right. Thanks for your phone calls. 803-0550. We'll try to get a couple more in after a break. Paul Hamilton at 6 on the Sabres tonight. This is Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Bulldog is telling me about watching The Sopranos through again, and you're almost done.
I'm almost done. Sixth and final season is long. There's like maybe 20 episodes. I finished up episode 16 today. And yeah, I brought it up because I noticed, I didn't remember this from the first run of the show. I know my wife and I loved the show when it was running new on HBO and watched every episode of it. But I did not remember in this season, again, like episode 16 maybe, there's a storyline where Tony is losing gambling. He's on a bad streak gambling. He's kind of chasing it a little bit, or maybe a lot. And in one scene, a bunch of the guys are all together at the strip club watching a football game on TV. And, you know, they present the TV. You can just see the TV at an angle. Like, it's not featured. It's not the Bills and the Buccaneers, but it's supposed to be the Bills and the Buccaneers. You know what I mean? So it's like generic football footage. And Tony's got, I don't know, maybe the Bucks plus 3 or something, or minus, whatever it is. He's like, oh, I'll take a push if I can get it, as they're watching. And the play-by-play on the TV goes, and Lossman fumbles. And there's this mad scramble, and some lineman picks up the ball and scores a touchdown, and Tony loses his call. He loses the bet. Like, oh, poor Tony.
Poor Tony.
About a half an hour later, they're in a casino, and he's playing blackjack. And he's hot. He's winning. And the dealer steps out. The dealers change, right? This woman leaves and a man shows up. And the whole group goes, time to go. And he's got, you know, big stack of chips. I don't think they say exactly how much, but I think maybe 20 grand. Anyway, he's walking to the window to cash in. And he sees on a TV monitor there's a harness race about to start in 2 or 3 minutes. And the favorite in the race is Meadows Gold or Meadows something, and his daughter is named Meadow. So like, oh, it's a sign. I gotta go. They race to the window. He gets the bet in, big bet on this horse to run this race, and they settle in to watch the race. And the race is from Batavia Downs. Like the graphic on the screen, like is about to say, it's like, welcome to Batavia Downs. I'm like, wow, I did not two Buffalo-ish. You know, close enough, references in this single episode, and I don't remember any of that from when I watched it the first. I mean, it's a long time ago, but still, that's the kind of thing I would remember. Maybe I missed it the first time, wasn't paying super close attention, I don't know, but it's kind of funny to see, like, Lossman and the Bills reference there, and then a few minutes later, it's Batavia Downs.
I'm not, like, watching them, all the episodes through the series sequentially, but I do the same kind of thing with The West Wing. Like, I'll just pick out favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, you know, it's been 20, 25 years since that show, and I still love it almost as much. The one thing that happens to me that I think is probably typical is I just find more things that I think are kind of like mistakes.
Mm.
You know, because there are some of these episodes where I think I could recite them.
Yeah.
But, you know, watching this one, watching Hartsfield's Landing for the 35th time, I think I'd change this one word, you know, Aaron Sorkin, maybe you could just do a better job.
Right.
And that's just so unfair. The more you watch it,
right,
the more just like little details that Yeah. You maybe didn't catch that before. That's not what you're describing.
Right.
You know, but still, like, find more things that
don't look right. Yeah, Seinfeld, I guess, is the only show that I would say I've watched multiple episodes multiple times of. I watched the full run of Breaking Bad twice. I haven't done Better Call Saul twice yet because that just finished, but at some point I probably will. But I like to let some time go by so I don't dip in and out like that. I have really enjoyed this. Like, I got that Max app just because of Nick Bakay and his show, The Bookie, which is season two is coming, I think December 12th is the date I have in my head. But anyway, I got it for that. And now I'm just sort of justifying keeping it by watching The Sopranos. I got The Wire all loaded up to watch after. That's one of my favorite shows that I only watched one time through. And I'll start that probably when I finish The Sopranos. At some point, I should watch something new, I suppose.
Yeah. Bookie. You watch Bookie. That's new.
Right. That's new. Right. That counts.
Do you skip episodes that you don't like as much if you remember them?
No.
You have a rule not to do that?
I'm mostly, if a show is good enough for me to consider watching again, I'm looking for I need the hours because I'm on the bike in the basement while I'm doing it. I'm not like sitting in my living room eating popcorn. I'm exercising. Maybe that's why I noticed these things about Batavia Downs and this Bills game, that maybe the first time through I was in my living room and sort of, who knows, I doubt I was goofing around on my phone or anything, but I'm captive. I mean, I'm watching I'm watching a screen that's 5 feet in front of my face, and I'm on a bicycle. There's not any in a basement. I don't have to worry about traffic. I'm pretty captive.
Yeah, you are watching. That's your rule. You will watch every episode.
I will watch everyone.
No skipping.
Yeah, no skipping.
But you also were the guy that listens to albums front to back.
Right.
The sequence, doing the whole thing is important.
Right. I won't put a record on if I don't want to hear the whole side. Like, I very rarely, unless there's company over and like somebody I know wants to hear this thing or I want them to hear this one thing, I'll put a, you know, track three on side two of a record on just to hear, here, I want you to hear this one song. But if an album isn't worth listening to front to back, I won't put it on.
And I am so different. I've got a playlist of songs I like. Yeah. They are from all different genres and I'll just hit random. I'll go from classical to Radiohead to, I don't know, Glenn Campbell, to NFL Films.
Right.
I mean, right. 10 of those songs are NFL Films. Sam Spence. Just no order to it at all. Back with Paul Hamilton after the update here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.